Okay, Dafna Gimel at the Mishnah. Hamafkin Moritz Mos Esol Shulchoni. So if you have money, you bring money to a money changer, which is the modern equivalent of a bank. Okay, so you bring the ancient equivalent, I should say, of a bank. So you bring them to money. So the Mishnah says, in Tsurin Lo Yishtamesh Ben. If you give them the money that it's wrapped up in some kind of bag, we'll see what the Gemara will describe what the details are, then the assumption is that you want that money. Okay, normally nowadays in our world, right, we need money. When you bring money, you deposit money in the bank, you're not going to get back that money. You're going to get back the equivalent value of that money, but you're not going to get back those coins or those shtars. Over here, the Mishnah is talking about when you give money to a shulchani, who's someone who's changing money all the time, you give it to him to watch as a shomer chinam, pashup shat. So if it's wrapped up in a certain way, lo yishtamesh ben, he is usher to use that money, and therefore He has to give you back those coins specifically, but im avdu, if the coins then get lost, enu chayev be'achrusin. So that as like every other shemer chinam, he's not going to be chayev for geneva or aveda. He's just going to be chayev for pshia. So as long as he watches the money the best he could, you're good enough. But he's not going to be chayev for any more than that. However, mutarin, if you give him the money open, untied, then yishtamesh b'hem. Then the assumption is he could use the money, and if he could use the money, then he becomes much more than a shemer chinam. We'll see in the Gemara what his status is, but if he actually uses the money, then he definitely becomes like a shoyl, more importantly, like a loiva betzim, and therefore he's going to be chayev in the achrayas of it, like a shoyl or a loiva, which case he has to pay you back under all circumstances. If he's a loiva, it's actually his money. If it's his money, then of course he's going to be chayev if it gets lost, etc. That's when you give it to a banker, a shulchan. It's a balabayas. If you give it to someone at home, so then ben tzurin, ben mutar, and leishtamesh ben. There's no assumption when you give someone a bag of money, they're going to use the money. Right? If you tell him he could use the money, just pay you back value, that's fine. But if you don't tell him anything, then the assumption is whether you tie it up in a specific way or not, money that you give to a balabayas to watch, the assumption is he has to watch that money. And therefore, he's just a regular shemer chinam. He's not allowed to use the money. And therefore, lefika chamavdu, ena chay bechusen, he's not going to be chay for geneva aveda. If, however, you give the money to a storekeeper, now a storekeeper has an interesting question, because a storekeeper, on one hand, he's not a money changer, but on the other hand, there's a lot of money being changed in the store all the time. So how do you look at it in terms of, does the mafkid assume that the chenveni is going to use the money and he just wants to get back the value or not? So Tanakhama says, Chenveni is kibal bayis to be a mayor. Chenveni is a kibal bayis. He's not an official money changer of any sort. Therefore, he happens to run a store. But if I give him money to watch, the assumption is he's going to watch the money and not use the money. Therefore, he has a regular din of a shemer chinam. No, since a Chenveni is also changing money all the time, just as a part of the day-to-day activities in the store, therefore, he has the same idea as a shulchani. And if it's untied money, the assumption is he's going to use the money. If he uses the money, then he becomes a din like a shayel or a laiva, and he has to pay you back. Even if it's geneva avet, says the Gemara. First of all, a technical detail. Mishum de tzruin lo yishtamesh ben. We said if you give the shulchani, who the assumption is the stam situation, you give him untied money. The assumption is the shulchani is going to use the money. Was just because it's tied up, that's an indication that you don't want him to use the money. Just because you tie the bag up doesn't seem to be much of a difference. So Amar of Asi, Amar of Yehuda, betzruin vechasumin shani. We're talking about where it's sealed. If it's sealed already, that's much more of an indication that it's like, you lick the envelope, and then you just lick it, you actually put a piece of tape over it. Okay, that's already an indication that you actually want that money to be watched, and therefore he's not allowed to use the money, and therefore he has a regular din of a shemer chinam. Rav Mariam Rav Kesha Meshuna, you tied it in some sort of interesting, unique way, which indicates that this is a special type of knot that you don't want someone to undo, and that's also a simit. Ikadiyami, some people said it over this piece of more a little differently. Boyer of Mary asked it as a shayla. Bekesher Meshun Mai, if you tie it up, like we said, and you make a chotem on it, and you stamp it, then it's obviously an indication that you don't want him to open the money. If you tie it in a special way, does that count as well? Rav Mari had this question, and he left it as take. Mutar Nishtamesh Ben. Amar Rav Huna, Vafilu Nensu. Rav Huna says that which we said. If you could use the money, let's just stress, Rashi explains, if you give the shulchani the money in a way that he's allowed to use it, and he uses the money, once he actually uses the money, he opens up the bag and he takes out money from it, and he's using the money, there's no question that he becomes a din of a shoyl or a loiva betzem, and now that he's a shoyl loiva, he's of course chayiv and oinsin, and no question. Our question is, if you give it to him and he has not yet used it, but he could use it, So up to the stage where he used it, where he did use it, but he did not yet use it, what is his halachic status then? Rav Huna says, "Afilu nensu, you become chayiv not just as a shomer, you become chayiv as a shoyel, just because you could use it. The ability to use it already makes it as if the owner has given you the money to use, like a shoyel or a halva." Says Mava Avdu Katani. So why is it the Mishnah then say, "If you're saying you're becoming a lot more than a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar, you're becoming actually a shayel is chayev not just kinam and aveda, a shayel is even chayev for einsin." So the Mishnah should have said a bigger chiddush that when you give it to him, even if he hasn't used it yet, he's chayev also on einsin. Why did it say avdu? Says no more kid the rabbi, like rabbi says in many places in Shas, the rabbi gunvu nigvu, when it, sometimes when it says stealing, it doesn't mean stealing the regular way, it means ballista mizuim, it means the onus version of stealing, which is much more kal or chamer, depending which way you're coming at it, obviously. So and therefore that would be our mishnah also, when it says avdu, it should tovu svinas v'yam. Avdu doesn't just mean it got lost, it fell off the table and you couldn't find it. Avdu means that the boat sank. So that's already an onus type of avdu. And therefore, when the Mishnah says you're chayev for aveda, it doesn't just mean aveda like a shomer sachar would be chayev in a ginam and aveda. It means aveda of onus, which means that you're actually qualifying the person as a shoah. So therefore, according to Rav Huna, the fact that you could use the money, already you have a din of a shayel or a loiva and you're chayev, even on oinsim. If Nachman Amar Nensu Loi, if Nachman says, if you use the money, then of course you become a loy or a shoyel. But Kolzman, you did not use it, you're not going to be chayv in oinsin. You still have a regular din of a shomer. Now, what kind of shomer? Remember, we said over here, you're not getting paid by the bialim, so you're only a shomer chinam. Oh, wait a second. Samalei Ravel or if Nachman Lidi Dach Amar Nensu Loi, according to you that say you're not a din of a shoyel if you have not yet used the money. Alma Loyav Yishoyel Alayu. So Yishoyel Alayu, if you tell me that he's not considered use the money yet. He just could use the money. That doesn't count. So then Shemir Socher Namilavi. So then why is he a Shemir Socher? He's not getting paid. So Mamar Shach, if you tell me it's like he, it's the fact that he could use the money makes it like he used it, so fine, then he's automatically a Shoyal or a Loiva. If you tell me that it's not like he used it, he's not getting paid, he's a Shemir Chinam. Shemir Chinam is not Chayiv in Aveda. But the Mishnah says, you are Chayiv in Aveda. So Amalei, Shav Nachmasel, no, I hold it's like a middle stage. What does that mean? He's getting hanah from the fact that he could use the money. He has not yet actually used it, so he doesn't have a din of a shoyel, says Rav Nachman. But the fact that he could use the money already makes it as if he's getting paid. If he has a business deal to do, the ispei ravcha that he could profit on, zavin behu, he could use this money and buy and sell the deal, havi alayu shomer sachar. So we upgrade him from being a shomer chinam, because he's not actually getting paid, to the fact that he could use the money. That's already as if the mafkid is giving him hanah, and now he gets upgraded from a shomer chinam to a shomer sachar, and that's when he's going to be chayv in a ginam and aveda. But Kol's money has not actually used the money, he's still not a shayel on it, he's still only going to have a din of a shomer sachar. So everybody agrees in this case, even though he's not really being paid, he has at least a din of a shomer sachar. Rav Huna says, since you could use the money, you mamish a shayel already. Nachman says, no. Kolzman, you didn't use the money, you're a shomer sachar. When you actually use the money, that's when you become a shoyel. Eis Rav Nachman Lefruna. So Rav Nachman has the kash of Lefruna following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamafkin Motz Eshul Shulchani, if the gizbar from the Beis HaMikdash has money of Hegdish, and he gives a money of Hegdish to a Shulchani to watch. Okay? So Imtzurin, same aloch, Imtzurin, if they're tied up in a special way, lo yishtamash ben. So that's an indication that the gizbar is telling the Shulchani, I don't want you to use this money, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. Lefichachim Haitzi, if the shomer decides to use the money, so lo mala gizbar, the gizbar who gave him the money is not over me'ila, rather the shomer is over me'ila when he decides to use the money of Hegdish, which he was not supposed to use at all. V'mutar, if the gizbar gave it to him untied, which means the gizbar is telling him, go ahead, use the money, so then yishtamish ben, he's allowed to use the money, l'fichach m'haytzi mala gizbar. It's the gizbar who's going to be over the me'ila over here, because he lent out the money of Hegdish. But pay attention to what the price says. If you're going to say like Rav Huna said, that once the mafki gives the shomer the money, that automatically kicks off a she'ela, and he's chayef einzin because it's like he already used the money, then the gizbar should be chayef right away. So afilu nensu, so ma'ir yahoytzi afilu hoytzi nami. In the safe of the Mishnah when it says, when you gave it to him untied, im hoytzi mal gizbar, it's not im hoytzi mal gizbar. The lending itself is the me'ila on behalf of the gizbar. The Gizbar Zarev the Mila at the first moment that he gave it to him, according to Rav Huna, because that's lending out Hegdish money, which is already being violating Mi'ila on Dina Hegdish. So the fact that the price says he's only going to have a Mila when the person uses it, it's mashma like Rav Nachman, that he's actually not considered lending it until he actually uses it. But until Kozman he doesn't use it, he's only like a Din like Rav Nachman, it's like a Shem HaSachar. So I'm a layer of food. That might be. But Lamaisa, in this case, we're saying that the Gizbar is Ma. So says the Gemara, Amalei Hu Adin Afakav De Loi Haitz. Truth is, Rav Huna will read the Braisa, doesn't mean, when it's Adim Haitzi, doesn't mean that he actually used the money. It just means that he had available the money. So then why did it say if he used the money? In the Reisha, he was not allowed to use the money. So then we said, it's only when he actually uses the money. That's clear. So in the Seif also it said, Haitzi, even though it doesn't really mean that, the fact that he lent the money to begin with, that already be enough to kick off Me'ilaf the Gizbar, according to Rav Huna. So we have a fundamental machlokes here, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, when you give someone money to watch and he's allowed to use it, Kolzman, he has not used it yet, is he considered a Shem HaSachar on it because he could get that out? No. Or is he already considered a Shoyel for the fact that he could use the money? Says the Mishnah. We're going to have a difficult Mishnah to read, a few lines here, and the Gemara is going to have three or four different ways to try to understand what's pshat in this Mishnah. Hashalech Yad Bepikadim. So this takes us back to the halachas we learned early in Masechtas Baba Kama. We know Baba Kama, the halacha is, Kol ha-gazon ha-mishalem kishas ha-gzela. Okay, if you steal something and the price of it changes on the way after you stole it, the halacha is you always pay back the higher price that it was at the time that you stole it. But Heshev is gzela, asher gazal, you pay the higher price even if it went down after the gzela. How does this apply by a case of a shomer and shalichus yad? We know when you shalech yad to go use the item, you become a gazlan on it. So the halacha should be the same. You pay at the time that you were shalech by yad. Over here, you don't pay the time you got it necessarily, because when you got it, you were not stealing it at that point in time, you were just watching it. It's when you decided to steal it, make it yours, that's when you'd have to pay. So it says the Mishnah, hashalech yad bepikadon, if you're watching an object, now you decide you're going to be using it, which case we said you'd switch from becoming a shomer to becoming a gazlan. So beisham yamim yiloka bechaser ubiyaser. Beishamai says, whether it went up in price or down in price after this, you always pay the higher amount, no matter what. Okay, if it was worth more when you shalech b'yad than when you're going to return it. Now, as Rashi stresses, if the object is here, you have to return the object. Okay, that's always by gzeila. If the object is here, you have to return the object. But if somehow the object is not here anymore, so then, it says Beishamai, whether it went up in price or down in price, you always pay the higher amount. If it was worth more before, then you pay the higher amount as it was when you shalech yad. If it was worth less now, for whatever, the market changed and now it's worth less, you pay the higher amount. If it went up in price and now it gets ruined, also you're going to pay the higher amount. Whether this is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, like a knas, that we don't want the gazan making money off of it, or somehow, even when it gets lost, debatable. But that's what Beishamai says, you always pay the higher amount.
But there's only depreciation.
That's what we're talking about.
The car.
No, so we're talking here with a price change, not because something changed in the object. We're talking with a price change. We'll see in the Gemara in a second. Basil says something vague, arguing on Beishamai, obviously, but he doesn't say it's something called Shas Hoitzo. What is that? That's what the focus of the Gemara is going to be. Rabbi Kiva says a third point, Kishas Hatviya. It's not the Shas Hoitzo, it's something called Shas Hatviya when you're being brought to Bezdin. That's how when you evaluate what the item is worth. First, let's figure out what the Mechalek's Beisham Beisil is. Then we can try to figure out what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says it might be Rava. Rabbi says a halacha independently of our Mishnah. He says a halacha, and then we have to try to fit it into the Mishnah. If you steal a barrel of wine from your friend, you stole it, was worth one zuz. You have to pay back it. Now you have it in your hands, this barrel, and it's worth four. The price of wine changed. Erev Yontif, prices went up, and now it's worth four zuz. Okay, so Tavir Shasa, if now the Gazlan goes ahead and breaks the barrel and spills the wine out, or he drinks the wine, okay, but he does it himself. So then he has to pay the higher amount. Itbar Mimela, if he was holding on to the barrel to return it to the owner, because he's just supposed to return it the way it is, regardless of the price, and it breaks back, so it had nothing to do with what he did, Mishalim Zuza, then he only has to pay the value that it was at the time that he stole it to Zuz. So my time, what's Pshat and Rabbah? Chivan di Isa, since right now the barrel, the way it is, Hadra l'mare, I would have to give the physical barrel back, not the value. If I have the barrel full of wine, I give it back. No question. So beina hahi shaita de kashasi de katoverle kagozomine. So yes, you stole the barrel, but when you break it on purpose, it's like you're stealing it again. And now you're not going to be chayav for the value that it was the first time. You're going to be chayav for the deeper level stealing that you're doing now by breaking it. And now when you broke it, it's worth four. So says Rabbi, you have to pay back four. So that's if you break it on purpose. If you didn't break it on purpose, it just an accident happened, it just cracked, exploded. Then Mishalim Zuza, then you only have to pay the original price. My time, you're not doing a second gzela now. You didn't do anything now, it just happened by itself. Amaika Mechavi say, what are you being Mechayev the person for? He shaited the gozla on the time, the original stealing that he did last week. He shaited the Zuzu to Shavit. The original price was only a Zuz. So this is Rabbi's halacha, that when you steal something, you have to give back the chefetz. If you break it now, and it's worth more, you have to pay the higher price. If it breaks on its own, you only pay the lower price. That's Rabbi's statement. We had this in Baba Kama. How does this fit now with this machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, which is the same question, but they're talking about shlichus yad. How does that fit in with Rabbi's halacha that he said by straight by gzela? So Tanan, Beis Hillel, I mean, Kishas Hoitza. Let's understand Beis Hillel, because obviously Beis Hillel is the sheet that we always want to focus on in terms of Psak Halach. Beis Hillel says you don't pay, you're not Yalaka Bechasar B'Yasser, you pay Kishas Hoitza. What does that mean, Kishas Hoitza? My Kishas Hoitza. Ilai Mikishas Hoitza B'mina Oilam. So Beis Hillel says you pay what it's worth when you broke it. Okay, you're supposed to be Shaleach Yad B'Pikadim. Even if you're Shaleach Yad, we said you're supposed to give the original Chefetz back. If after you Shaleach Yad, the Chefetz breaks, it gets lost, whatever it is, so now you have to pay. So Beis Hillel says you have to pay the value that it was when it got destroyed. Not when you were Shaleach Bayad, but when it got destroyed. Now what are we talking about? So B'mai, Ibn Chaser, if it was worth more when you stole it, and now when you break it, it's worth less. So what does Beis Hillel mean? You pay the lower amount? Nobody says you pay the lower amount, but right? Even like Rabbi said, if you have if you stole it twice, you stole it and then you broke it, or in our case, you were shalech b'yad and then you broke it, of course you have to pay at whatever the higher amount is. So if it was worth more before, the first time you steal it, you're already chayev the four zuz from that. So that can't be what Beis Hillel meant when he said you pay the value that it is when you broke it. V.B. Yeser, if Beis Hillel means that it was worth one when you were shalech b'yad, now when you go ahead and break it, it's worth four and you pay the higher amount, so then hayni b'shamei. What exactly is the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? If it was worth more at the beginning, you pay the more. If it's worth more now, you pay more. So that's exactly what Beis Shammai said. Yalaka b'chasar b'yasar. Where is Beis Hillel arguing? Says the Gemara. Ela pshita kishas haitzami beis bailam. Must be that when Beis Hillel said kishas haitza does not mean kishas haitza when you broke it. He meant kishas haitza when you took it. Not haitza min ha'olam, but haitza when you took it originally, or in our case, shalech by yad. And therefore, we're talking about b'yeser pligi, you went up in price. Meaning, that you stole it, it was worth, you were shalech by yad, it was worth one. And then it broke. If it broke, Beis Shammai said you pay the higher amount, what it was worth in time that you broke it. Beis Hillel says, no, you pay kishas ha'gzela, what it was when you took it. Okay, so therefore, if that's the case, lema rabba dama ke Beis Shammai. But that's not what Rabba said. Rabba said, when you break it, it's like you're stealing it a second time, and when you're stealing it a second time, you pay the higher price. According to what we're just explaining now in Beis Hillel, that's really Shittas Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says you pay the price what it was when you originally stole it. So that can't be pshat. It cannot be that Rabba paskin like Beis Shammai. That makes no sense. So amalucha Rabba, no. B'yeser kuliyama lay pligi. Everybody agrees that if it went up in price and you broke it, of course you pay the higher price what it was when you time and you broke it. That's not debate. Our question is when it went down in price. Was it worth more and then it went down? What's the question? Obviously, Bisham Kishas Akzela. So you have to pay the higher amount. No. This gets back to our question we had yesterday. When you're Shaleach Bayad, if you're Shaleach Bayad in a way that does not cause any financial loss whatsoever, is that considered being Shaleach Bayad? Does that already kick in your Din Gezela? And therefore, the moment you decided to use the object and used it, we'll see in Beis Shammai tomorrow, even if you think about using it, it becomes the gazlins. And therefore, he stole it already when it was worth four. And therefore, if it goes down in price, it's irrelevant. He has to pay back the higher amount. Beis Hillel says if you did not cause any financial loss, you were just using it like this, you did not become a gazlin yet. And if you did not become a gazlin yet, now when you go ahead and broke it, now you're becoming the gazlin. It's already only worth one. So the question is here, do we have two Maisik Zelos or just one? According to Beis Shammai, you have an original Maisik Zelos, so you have that. According to Beis Hillel, you never did original Maisik Zelos at all. According to Beis Hillel, Shlichus Yad is Tzrichah Chesaron, so you never did a Maisik of Shlichus Yad until you actually broke it. And that's what's going on in our Mishnah. It says, okay, and therefore you can fit with Rab. Elahoda Marava, but Rabba Paschal Shlichus Yad ain't a Tzrichah Chesaron. He says, Shlichus Yad Yechayv, even if you did not cause a loss. So, Lema Rabba Dama Kebe Shammai. So then, you're trying to get Rabba out of fitting into Beis Shammai, but now you're going to have Rabba stuck in Beis Shammai, Shittel Gabi Shlichus Yad. So you haven't accomplished anything. So, okay, so leave that alone. It's not a case of regular Shlichus Yad. You know what the issue over here is, like we discussed also? You weren't Beis Shaleach by Yad to keep it or use it. You're moving it for what we called She'ela Shaloi Midas. You weren't actually going to take the chafetz. You just moved it a little bit so that your chickens, whatever it is, your birds can walk up it. The question is, do you become a gazlan? Not because of shlichus yad, because over here there was no chisarin. You're becoming a gazlan because you were using someone else's chafetz without his permission. And therefore, the gzela kicks off at the beginning when it was worth more. And when it went down in price, it went down in price in your rishos, and you're not going to be, and you're already going to be chai for the higher amount. No. You're just a shayel. I didn't steal it yet. I was using it, but I wasn't stealing it. I didn't become a gazlan yet until it's unable to be returned. Maybe then I become a gazlan or become chayv as a shayel. But I'm not a gazlan. If I'm not a gazlan, then when it changes price, I only have to pay the lower price. And that's what's going on our Mishnah. So that also doesn't fit. Elohadama Ravo Rabba Shoshamidas Rabbanan Gazlanave. We passing it is a gzela. So Lema Ravo Rabba Damaki Beshabe. So again, that doesn't fit with Beshabe. So everywhere we turn, something Rabba said according to our pshat seems to be fitting on the Beshame side of this machlekes. So something's wrong here. It says, Ella, you misunderstood the entire Mishnah. When the Mishnah said Yalaka Bechasa Riyasa, they went up in price and down in price, it does not mean the value changed. It meant the object changed. And this gets back to the question we had earlier in Baba Kama, but Shinoi Kaina or Eino Shinoi Kaina. If you have an animal that you steal and then it gets pregnant and then gives birth, or the animal was pregnant when you stole it and then it gives birth, what is the halach of the vlad? Who gets to keep the vlad? And this is a classic halachas of Shinoi Kaina. So if you stole it, and you say Shinui, and it was pregnant, and you say Shinui Koina, so then when the animal gives birth, the gazlan actually gets to keep the vlad. He might have to pay for it, because the animal when it was pregnant is worth more, but he gets to keep the vlad. Or the opposite case, if it was not pregnant when he stole it, it got pregnant and gave birth in his rishos, if you hold Shinui Koina, he does not have to pay anything for that vlad. The vlad has nothing to do with the original owner. If you hold Shinui Koina, not. So that's what's going on in our Mishnah. It says the Gemara, the object itself changed. The shvach gezela always goes back to the original owner, either because he holds shinu eina kaina, or he holds, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second, in Remeir, that we knas the gazlan. It's not fair for you to make money on someone else's animal, and therefore we force you to give it back. And therefore, it says yilaka b'chaser b'yaser. That's exactly the point. Beis Shammai says whatever it is, if it went up in price, or because it got pregnant, or it was pregnant and it went down in price based on the changing of the animal, you always have to give that back to the original owner. And Beis Hillel says no, and that's nothing to do with Rabba and Shlichus Yad. Irrelevant to our whole discussion. But plug the Tari tonight. This is machlokes we already had in Baba Kama, Desanya. Hagoizos harachal. If you steal a sheep, gozes and you shear it. V'yoldo, or if it was pregnant, it gave birth. Meshal myseiv as yisav as said ves vloday said the mayor says you have to give it all back to the original owner. Well, you know, either again shina ain't a kind or it's a kanas, you have to give it back to the owner. No, you give back the animal. The changes, if it changed in your rishos, you get to keep it altogether. If it was pregnant and gave birth, you have to pay for the value of the animal, of the vlad, but you don't have to give back the vlad. And if a Beis Hillel is going like a Yehuda, Dekanami says the truth is that's a better pshat in our Mishnah. Diktani Beis Shammai Yami Yilaka Bechasar Ubeyeser. It doesn't say Yilaka Behukra Ubezula. Not talking about the value of the animal. It's talking about the animal itself change, and it's a question of shina karna. So therefore, this whole machlokes has nothing to do with anything to do with shlichus yad. It's stam a machlokes like we had in Baba Kama about shina karna or in shina ena karna, which is a little bit strange what it's doing here in our Gemara, because it has to do with our Masechta per se, but that's the way you're going to learn it according to Rabbi. Now, how does Rabbi Akiva fit into this? Rabbi Akiva says you pay kishas hativiyah. You don't pay based on the value of when you stole it. You pay on the value that it was when you come to Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yudam Rishmul, halacha Rabbi Akiva, we talk a possible Rabbi Akiva. But, Umar Rabbi Akiva, makam sheish edim. If there's edim who saw that when you, what it was worth and when you stole it, mamish, then you pay that value. My time, you pay it on the day of the Asham. What is the day of the Asham? What are you found guilty? If there's Edom there, mamish, there's no question for Bezdin to paskin on. It's obvious. Edom saw you stole it. They saw what it was worth for the time you stole it. That's the moment that you have to pay. One more, we'll get back to Rabbi Akiva in a second. Amar Rabbi Yishai Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Atta Arim Rekain? Is that how you explain Rabbi Akiva? It says, Hachim Rabbi Asim Rabbi Yechon, Chalok Rabbi Akiva, Afil B'makam Sheishay. There's nothing to do with Edim or not Edim. It's clearly, my time of the Merkola, Sheru Loi, Yitana B'yem Hashem Masai, Ubeidinu Dukam Echayv Lai Hashem. Very much fascinating philosophical question, which is, if there's Edim who saw you steal it, and there's no debate about it, are you considered Chayv from that moment, or are you only Chayv when Bezdin Paskins your Chayv? Whatever point that is, that's what Rabbi Akiva says you have. Now, what's not clear is, remember, the Machlekes Beisham Beis Hill we just explained has nothing to do with the value and the price. It has to do with the animal itself changing. And when the animal itself changes, she nekoina, she ain't nekoina. It's a little bit difficult to explain Rabbi Akiva into that. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Instead of looking shinui kind of the time of the shinui, not the time of the shinui, you look at the time when you come to Bezdin. It makes no sense, says Taisus. What would the time that you come to Bezdin have to do with shinui kind or shinui ainu kind? It's like Rabbi Akiva, there, Mesil Meshameh talking about shinui kind, it comes by Rabbi Akiva says something totally different. So Taisus, ainu kind, says, you're right. Says that ainu kind, Meshameh Mesil, we're talking about two things. They were talking about shinui kind, they have a machlaikis about that. But they all agree if it was not a question of shinui kind, it was a question of the value changing, then you pay kishas exela. And on that, and that, like we always said, the higher amount, etc. And on that, Rabbi Akiva is arguing and saying, in a case where it's the value that's changing, I have a new point in time that you can evaluate it, and that's the Shasa Tviya. Look in this Taisus Rabbi Akiva, that's his Pshat the Sugya, other Rishonim learning differently. Rashi doesn't say either way. Rashi is not clear exactly what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. Let's finish the Mishnah. When you go visit them in, they lived in Akko or that area. Akif asaluma de tzur. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, go around. There's a saluma de tzur. There's like these ladders, so like if you've been up to Rosh HaNikra, between Akko, which is the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and Tzur, which is in Lebanon. So there was this path that was called Suloma de Tzur. Apparently, it was like steps they had dug out in the mountains. When you go that way, the Olagabe de Yaakov Yidi, go to Yaakov Yidi. We see there's a few places in Shas. They asked the son of Shilas, he lived over there. Ubaymine, Ishimele, did he hear either Rabbi Yechon Alacha Kabi Akiva and Alacha Kabi Akiva? Ask him, do we possibly Kabi Akiva or not? Amalei, he said, "Hachem Rabbi Yechon, Alacha Kabi Akiva. We've taka pasul Kabi Akiva le'olam. What does it mean le'olam? My le'olam. I'm Ravashi Shaloi Timer. Don't think to say like we had said. The Hani Melechad Alacha Edim. When there's no Edim, you go by the time in Bezdin. Avalechad Ik Edim. Then you go by the time when the Edim saw it by the Ganif. Like no." We paskin always like Rabbi Akiva. That's always based on the time that it was worth when you were in Bezdin. Vinami, another reason why he said the word le'olam, da hadri leduchta, if you return the object and don't tell the owner you returned it, the itbar and it breaks by the owner without him knowing that you ever returned it, then you're also going to be chayla fukin to be shmal. That's coming to exclude Bishmael. Damar lo binan das pad. Bishmael said you could return it without the owner knowing in this case. Rabbi Yechon said we pass it to Rabbi Akiva le'olam, meaning that you have to do a proper hashav. You have to tell him that you're doing it. Kamash man de binan das pad. All that was very nice, says the Gemara. Rav Amar, forget Rabbi Akiva. Halacha ke Beis Hillel. We actually paskin like Beis Hillel. So again, whether Rabbi Akiva is arguing in the case of Shina Kaina, or whether he's arguing in the case of Yukav Azula, either way, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. That's this new point in time that you evaluated based on time it's worth it to come at Bezdin. No, you evaluated either based on the time when you stole it, or the time when you broke it. Nothing to do with the value when you come to Bezdin. Agud.